Hello and welcome to the Full Fat Pod.
Hello, welcome to the Ben Askren versus Jake
Hello
Paul
and
prediction.
Welcome.
Oh. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. All right. You know what? This is the Full Fat Podcast, and I am Matt saying hello, and I'm joined by Terry and Charlie. And this week we thought we'd have a bit of fun with you guys at the start because, of course, last week we were cutting each other up an awful lot. I hold my hands up. I was doing it as well. We were just very excited about Falcon Winter Soldier. And you want to bring good energy to every podcast, and sometimes it just spills into the conversation a bit too much. So I apologise for that. This week, we've got a solution. And those of you that are watching the video podcast will be able to see all of these delights. But we've got our own cards. So that if we're really, really gushing to bring up a point, in the middle of someone else's point, we'll just put up the card. And if that person's got like a little moment to interject something else, then we'll do that. It'll be a nice little rich tapestry. It's fantastic, isn't it?
I also love
the lighting. Like Terry's is kind of orange.
I was just holding mine up to speak and you ignored it.
This is the explaining bit. This is still the intro, bro.
Well, I was doing an example.
Okay.
Example.
Charlie.
We should have red, blue, and white ones for the Falcon Winter Soldier. That's what we should have done.
And that, guys, was an example of how it's going to work. Without further ado, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 5 brought a lot of things together. John Walker has now been stripped of the Captain America title, but seems to have a new lifeline as potentially some other sort of US agent, perhaps. We saw the return of Isaiah into the series, and Mackie was given a lot to think about in terms of whether or not he finally wants to take up the shield. And we also got a lot of Rocky style training. What did you guys think, Terry?
I think it's confirmed my suspicion that we're going to end with a cliffhanger. I don't think we're going to wrap up in 6 episodes. I've said it every week. I think we're going to end on a cliffhanger, and we're going to have to wait for the next thing.
And what did you think of the episode as a package?
As the whole episode, I thought it was really jumpy and wasn't very linear. And it felt like they were just trying to line things up for the next episode. But I, having said that, I did have a lot of fun with it. I did enjoy a lot of it.
When you say you didn't feel like it was very linear, do you feel like that's because the pacing kind of dictated it was a bit of a slower episode, wasn't it? And I feel like we've been kind of building up to things sort of getting more exciting and more tense right up to Lamar's death last week, and now this week it's sort of after the battle sort of shifted gears, and I feel like it's hard to tell how much time has passed in this episode. Could be like a week or 2 weeks of him training with the shield. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, and in the, I don't know, it just felt like the scenes were in the wrong order sometimes. I felt very jolted going from like the boat scene where like Bucky's flirting with Sarah to suddenly like this really emotional scene with Lamar's parents. I felt like the impact was taken away. If we'd have seen that scene like straight after maybe like the court martial scene, it would have had a lot more impact. Even though it was a fantastic scene, it really did get me. I feel like it was put in the wrong place in the episode, and I felt like that about quite a few scenes. And towards the end, I kept being like, this is the end. Oh no, we've got another scene that... Yeah, it felt like a lot of false ends.
It's true. I felt very similar in that sense. I enjoyed the episode. I did like it. I do agree in terms of the pacing felt a bit disjointed at times. Like 1 minute, we're speeding up the action. We're getting on this action set piece, and then all of a sudden it's got slow again. Then it picks up again. But like in a way that felt weird for the episode before the finale. I did enjoy it. I think the best stuff in this episode are some of the character moments that we have that I'm sure we'll get into a bit more. I do agree with Terry in terms of it. There was a weird just disjointedness to this episode, and I wonder if that comes from the reshoots that happened, which Matt was discussing whilst we was like watching the show.
Because there was that whole plot line, wasn't there, of sort of like the flag smashes. A lot of people think it was to do with sort of like a viral storyline, and it might tie into the original idea for Cap 3, which was the Mad Bomb storyline adapted from the comics. They ended up going the Civil War route. And lots of people thought that was going to play out. Of course, because we're living through a pandemic, it wouldn't make sense to do all that stuff. It would be a bit insensitive. So it seems like they've cut it together and restitched storylines. And there's a lot of YouTube videos out there that are kind of delving into that. So I see what you mean. It's kind of hard to almost criticize the flag smasher plot because even though it's been quite unsatisfying, I feel like Carly's motivations have, you know, could be clearer. I can't really fault the series for it. And also, when you compare that stuff to everything with Sam's arc, everything with John Walker, I feel like there must have been a better storyline with Carly there that was unfortunately sort of stopped in its tracks.
100%. Like, it does feel that way a lot. I just really liked a lot of the stuff. I just really liked all the John Walker stuff so far. I think that's been fantastic. And more so than ever, this show constantly keeps reminding us why Sam is the perfect Captain America to replace Steve Rogers. Like, he's... Uh-huh. They're even, like, mirroring dialogue and mirroring things that we've seen from Steve Rogers in such a classy, great way. And, like, you know... And I'm sorry to jump towards the end, but like, the advice he gives to Bucky is genuinely great advice. Like, he's...
I thought that as well. Like, when he was dishing it out, like, it's not often... when, like, you get really well-written advice like that to the point where you're like, yeah, this for anyone who was going through similar sort of feelings, this is a perfect summation of what to do and how to carry yourself and what you should be looking for. And I thought it was really astute of him saying, like, you know, like, you're doing all this to avenge and to right wrongs, but, like, you're not really doing it for the other people, you're doing it for them. It ties so well in right from the very start of Sam's time in the MCU, because he was, of course, a counsellor. And they kind of mention that again in the series. And then when you see all these times he, like, talks to Carly, the way he talks to Bucky, the way he talks to John, he offers genuine, legit advice. It's like, it's all tying together. And it makes so much sense why Steve saw that in him. He saw that he has the compassion and the humanitarian side of Captain America, which is crucial, which John Walker has displayed time and time again he does not have. And I think he's on a real tipping point into supervillainy at this point.
100%.
The way he's like, I am Captain America. Actually, I wanted to talk about the... sorry, Terry, you go.
I just wanted to ask about... so you say that you think Mackie is the perfect Captain America. Sam Wilson is a perfect Captain America. He's a perfect person to take over. But how do you feel about the fact that he doesn't have super soldier serum?
Well, it's a big topic to discuss, isn't it? I think it's... We've been talking a little bit about him getting the serum, haven't we? And obviously each episode it's been pouring it on more and more that is it the right thing for Sam to have that kind of power when and so many people like use it to become supremacists? And I definitely think the way it's gone this week, it seems like we're not going to get Super Soldier Serum Falcon Cap. However, something me and Charlie were talking about, it's awesome that the Wakandan thread in this series has tied in with Bucky asking them to make the Falcon suit, and obviously we know they're so technologically advanced, but also their own king has that special Wakandan herb, doesn't he, which grants him his super strength. So I think it would tie in so well with the race themes at play for Sam to go, oh, I'm not going to use this like white man serum, which has been used to sort of like hurt like my people like Isaiah and has been used, you know, for so many terrible things, and most recently it led John Walker to murder that guy. But instead I could take this Wakandan herb, which they might offer to him. Do you know what I mean? That grants the same thing, but it's organic and it's not rooted in that same evil, which I think ties into the theme of him like rejecting kind of the worst parts of the shield and the mantle. But I do think that's not going to happen. I think we're going to get a tech-based cap.
Yes, I agree. As much as that would be cool, and I do agree with you, and I think it does make like thematic sense as well if they did that, because obviously he's refusing to take the serum for obvious reasons, like the way they treated Isaiah and stuff. I really like that as an idea. I think that's a really cool idea. But yeah, like you said, I don't buy that that's what we're going to get.
No.
I think we're going to get, like you said, a more tech-based Captain America. However, I am thinking... Are they going to put some sort of like Wakandan tech on this outfit they're about to get? Do you know what I mean? Like, is there going to be any?
Yeah.
There's got to be something, like some really cool stuff.
Well, he's got, the Black Panther's got that kinetic energy buffer and all that sort of stuff. So you have to think, like, obviously they trust Sam. They, you know, 90% of the way trust Bucky. They trust him enough to build his friend a suit at this point.
Yes.
So you got to think there's got to be some tech upgrades. And now that we've seen the progression of Falcon from 2014 Winter Soldier to Civil War, and he's getting all these different upgrades, and now we look at everything he's got, plus the shield, plus the acrobatic skills. Like, if we just listen it off here, the metal wings, which he can use as a shield, and he can use to, like, kill those giant monsters in Endgame. He's got a jetpack he can use in combat, a shield, he's got a whipcord, he's got explosives, he's got all the Batman stuff. Yeah. He's got, like, Red Wing. I hope he gets another Red Wing. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
And when you put all that stuff together, come on, he's got the chops to take on super soldiers or anything Cap could have.
He's like, but at the same time, he's like Mando, but he's got a shield instead of the spear.
That's a good comparison. That's that sort of character, isn't he? Yeah, and I do like a sort of, like a Batman-esque Captain America of, like, it's tech, and he's still obviously got the combat chops, but it's not quite the doing of Steve Rogers just whacking people and sending them, like, halfway across a building.
Because I'm still very I'm still very concerned for him. I'm still very concerned for him. Yeah, yeah. I can't help it. I'm terrible for jumping in. I still can't help but feel concerned for him when John Walker is fighting against him. And I think that's something that they've got to try and get me away from. Because at the moment it feels like, you know, like Bucky is the one that he has to rely on to fight John Walker, for example. Because whenever he's around John Walker, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to kill him. Like, he's like, there's a different level of strength that he has. As much as, you know, he's given him a good fight.
I actually, like, fully gasped when he, like, raised the shield above Sam's head. I was literally like, oh God, it was really terrifying.
Mm. He was going to kill him.
So well,
Yeah. I that fight scene was very cool, and I like that he did end up pinning down Sam and ripping off his wings. That felt very brutal.
Mm.
But in terms of the actual cinematography of the fight, it was very unsatisfying. It was, like, a lot of cutting, first of all. And cutting a lot of otherwise well-composed shots of action, like the hand-to-hand stuff. But there was a consistent cut to different wides. And they weren't establishing wides because the fight was always taking place in the same corner of that room. So it just felt like so unnecessary. And even some of the wides were like pulling away from the fight. So as a chain of shots, it would be like close-up, 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 wide. Close up, close up, close up. And it's like, why are we going there? And, you know, if you look at, like, kind of like Hong Kong cinema, which I'm sure I'm going to hand over to Charlie now, because he flashed up the red card as well. And I know this is his bag, so I want to leave him with this. But they talk about doing a new setup every couple of shots, and that's how the fights move along, right? And have so much energy. Mm. And I think that's a really great example, and this is a really bad example, because as soon as it cuts to a wide, it's like, why are we here?
100%. We're out of the action. I just think it's weird because I can clearly tell that the choreography is great. And the choreography, I know that it was done by the guys that worked on, like, The Matrix Revolutions. And, you know, like, it's interesting.
They've been on some actually, Corridor Crew videos.
Yes, I know J.J. Perry was on one of the... is a stunt performer in the first episode, I think. And Eric Linden, who was on the Corridor Crew Stuntman Reacts, he's in a couple of the episodes. So, like, these are guys that have all spoken about on the Corridor Crew and stuff like that, that they like to show the choreography through that one shot and not to cut too much and only cut on impacts, which is what, like you said, Matt, like Hong Kong cinema do. And it was interesting watching this because I was like, you can clearly tell the choreography's great, but the way they're cutting, like you said, Matt, to like pointless shots of wides that are not—they're not giving you any emotion. Like, you know, fights are all about the emotion and drawing you into the action and getting you to feel like a sort of catharsis or, do you know what I mean, or something in it. And I think that's due to, you know, the way you edit it, the way you cut it. Whereas, like, yeah, the choreography was great, but if you're not editing the fight scene on those impacts, and instead we're getting close up all the time, then wide. There's no real reason for why we're cutting these things or why these shots are there. And obviously that's the purpose of film, is to, you know, is to use the tools of the cinematography and stuff to cut together to get the most emotion out of a scene. And I just felt like it was weird, especially because there's so much motion in that scene without that choreography. You know, I mean, without the fight, you strip it. It should have felt... Obviously, they did at points, like you said, Matt, when he's ripping off the thing. But again, they're very, you know, the action based of what the characters are doing in the scene, not necessarily how they're being shot and directed and edited. Do you see what I'm saying? And I feel like that could have just been a bit more improved Whereas something like The Winter Soldier, for example, just 2 seconds. We'll find out about The Winter Soldier, for example, does very well. It does cut to those big impacts, like when Cap's knee in The Winter Soldier and it cuts like a close-up of him. But like, yeah, you know what I'm saying. But yeah, what do you reckon about that, Matt?
I think as well, like, I think you're absolutely right. But I think what's also interesting is how well directed the rest of the episode is. There's a lot of storytelling that's purely visual and told in the cut that I was really impressed by. Like, for example, straight after that moment happens, Bucky has, you know, won the shield through combat. He's standing there holding it and the light's coming through, and you're seeing him stand there. It's almost like a hero moment. And, you know, in a lesser storyline, maybe that would have been the moment Bucky took it, because we know last week he said, or it might have been the week before that, if you're not going to take it, Sam, maybe I will. And instead, he just walks over to Sam on the floor, drops it to him, because Sam is the guy for it. And he doesn't say that, but we just come to that moment where he later apologises. That is the moment where he learns that. Really wonderfully directed. And then, of course, the moment later on where Bucky sees Sam's nephews playing with the shield.
Yeah, fantastic. And I feel like the bit when he wipes the blood off the shield, like, it felt to me like it was maybe I'm looking into it too much, but I see it as like a metaphor of like he's going to get rid of the dirt that this shield has been representing to a lot of people like Isaiah, and he's going to bring a new meaning to what Captain America means, because John Walker has also tried to taint it, and John Walker represents what, you know, the American government at the time wanted Steve Rogers to be, but Steve Rogers obviously is too good of a man to fall into that.
I think we've given a nod to the direction. We should also give a nod to the acting, because throughout the whole series, it's been absolutely fantastic. Like,
apart from the empty cups, you said.
Oh, when we watched the empty cups. Okay, it's like my pet hate when you see on stage or in films people holding cups as if there's nothing in it, and they just swing them around, and you'd be like, you'd be scolded by now. So somebody tell Anthony Mackie to at least pretend there's tea in his cup, please.
But the rest of his performance,
the rest of it's from Terry, top tier. He just doesn't know how to pretend he's got a hot drink, you know.
There was what I thought was amazing in the performance. I don't know if this is like the lighting that did this, or if it was Mackie that was doing this. But when Mackie was talking to his sister, and it was quite an emotional part, his eyes were like glistening, like he was almost like he was going to cry, like emotionally when he was talking to her. Similar thing when he was talking to Bucky towards the end as well. But I just really like that line that his sister says to him, where she says, like, you helped us out on the boat, and you're helping the country, like you're helping the world by stopping these people, like you're doing both. Like, that's why you're great, that's why you should be doing, you should take this on, sort of thing. And I think he needed to hear that from his sister.
I think the sister's been used fantastically throughout the series. Definitely. And also returning to meet Isaiah and having those two scenes kind of play off with each other. Like, you know, you have Isaiah's take, and then when Sam speaks with his sister, he kind of brings it all together and says, like, you know, like, I see why Isaiah felt that way, and it's understandable because everything that was done to him, but I can't give up, and I still need to become Captain America and show that I'm never going to give up. I think the way the series has taken that final scene in Endgame, where you're just like, oh, he's Captain America now, and actually built so much in the way that, like, it's a critique of America, and it's showing that authentic experience of what it's like to be a black man in America. But then also, just as a superhero movie, essentially, it's showing you all the beats. By the time you get to seeing Mackie lobbing that shield at trees, it feels so earned and so awesome. And to see him, like, get the Rocky montage.
Yeah, that was
Terry.
Brilliant.
That Rocky montage. That's why I put my card up, so we could just spend a moment.
The biceps.
Well done.
The sweaty biceps.
I need a cold drink.
You're also a fan of Bucky doing the manual labour? With the spanners.
Do you know what? I would take him home to meet my family and talk tools with my dad. Like, it's great. I'm all for it. And like when he was all like charming with the sister, it really reminded me of the character he played in Gossip Girl. So that was really funny. It kept making me giggle.
Yeah, he did turn on the charm, didn't he? You could see a bit of Sebastian Stan there. Hey, Sarah.
It reminded me a bit of the first Bad Boys. Do you know when, like, is it Will Smith that tries it with Martin Lawrence's sister, doesn't he? In the first Bad Boys one, doesn't he? And he gets kind of sooty about it.
I think the
it.
Sister's in the second one.
Second one, that's it, the second one, yeah.
if I know my Bad Boys knowledge.
It's true. That's true, the second sister is in the second one.
Knowledge. I'm out.
Oh, don't worry, Tez. We'll go through all three Bad Boys.
Has to be done.
The Bad Boy trilogy.
Yeah. A fantastic trilogy.
I can't wait. I'm really enjoying the Tom Cruise marathon we're on right now.
Yeah, we watched Top Gun, Jerry Maguire, Edge of Tomorrow. Barry, but we'll stay on target for now, because otherwise I'm going to be talking about Tom Cruise
exactly.
for a little long day.
You'll get me monologuing.
Don't get me monologuing. Couple of things I want to swing by you guys before we sort of wrap up. John Walker meeting Lamar's parents, Zemo's wrap-up, and the cameo. If any of you guys want to jump in on any of those three, or if you want me to indeed lead, and you guys can jump in, let me know.
The cameo.
You're scared to jump in. I'm trying to make it more... I'm trying to make it less... But I'm just so excited to talk about Captain America, guys. Yeah. Yeah, Terry, Zemo's wrap-up, what did you think?
I was a little disappointed. I know, I feel like we haven't got enough Zemo. I'd be happy for him to stay.
I feel like it kind of ended up going a bit nowhere.
Yeah.
And it didn't make a whole ton of sense, just batting off what we said last week about, like, not that T'Challa ever forgave him, but T'Challa gave him over to the authorities, didn't he? And he didn't kill him. So there was some catharsis there. And obviously the Dora Milaje want him. Whether that makes sense or not is another debate. But the fact that they take him in so that he can get Wakandan justice, but then they take him to the raft from Civil War, which I assume is like run by either the US or UN. It just seems like that whole thread was a bit confused. And also, the prison he escaped from, they never tried to get him back either.
Yeah. That's true.
I feel like they're just like locking up all their like anti-heroes. Like we've got Catherine Hahn's character in WandaVision. We know where she is. She's locked up in the Hex. We've got Zemo locked up. We know where he is. He's locked up in the Raft. So I feel like they're just putting people in places that we know where they are, so they're easy to access in future series. I'm holding on to my little card.
That is true, because I do think they'll pull Zemo out of the Raft for some sort of mission or something, or if he joins the Thunderbolts, something like that. Sorry, Charles, you go.
It's just so. I feel so weird
cards.
Doing this. Yeah, I got my little
card. Yeah, no, I'm trying to like
Red
do it. Like, a bit, like...
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, such a little wanker. Here you go. Excuse me, I want to speak. what was I gonna say? So the Zemo stuff, I was really disappointed with because it, and I feel like this is where I could buy that there was another plot line going on with him, because it kind of felt like he got brought in. He doesn't, if you think about it from a writing point of view, he doesn't, now, if that's just the end of it, it's like he didn't really need to be in the rest of it, really, you know? Yeah, it was cool to see Zemo, and like, I've loved seeing him over this season, but to have it sort of, to have it sort of fizzle out like this, I don't know, I just thought it was a, it was a bit of a shame.
And it kind of draws even more parallels to X-Men Days of Future Past, because even though I like that movie and I forgive the fact that Magneto needs to come out of jail and come along for the adventure because it's Magneto and you want to see Magneto, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they're like, you'll need Magneto for this mission. It's like, why? They get there and Xavier and Beast are enough to convince Mystique. Like, they don't need Magneto. Mm. And it doesn't make sense they would go to all that trouble just so they could get an extra guy in the room to go, Mystique, you need to listen to us. Like, I'm pretty sure Hugh Jackman, with his time travel knowledge, and Xavier and Beast would have been enough. But of course, you don't care. It doesn't matter, because you want to see Magneto.
Exactly,
I'm absolutely fine with that. But it's
a
similar thing here of, like,
definitely.
Did they really need Zemo? Like, you could have, like, a one-line fix for, like, the information they needed, or you know, Sharon Carter's in Madripoor, we'll go find her, and you wouldn't have needed Zemo at all.
Yeah. 100%.
But having said that, Daniel Brühl was a blast, so I'm glad he's
been
there.
It's been fantastic.
Fantastic.
He's been amazing the whole season.
What did you guys think of...
Let's go talk about the cameo. Go on, man.
I was going to segue into that, but if you're going to do it anyway, you go.
Well. I was just going to say, I think the cameo was weird. That whole scene was a bit weird. But I understand that they're going to set up. I think she's like, and she's, isn't she like a Madame Hydra or something? She turns out to be or something later on in the comics.
Her name's, I've got it written down here because I wouldn't remember this. It's no. Contessa Valentina Allegro di Fontaine. And I think she's affiliated with Hydra. I think she's like a Madame Hydra, which is interesting in the context of John Walker going to work for them. A lot of people think Chris Evans is going to come back as Hydra Cap, but what if it's actually John Walker taking up more of a US agent, Hydra Cap kind of mantle long term? Could be interesting.
That is...
That very interesting cool. to see what's going to happen with him.
I'm very excited for that. I'm very excited to see how that's going to play out. I think it's maybe excited that, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier have like an arch nemesis now. Obviously, I know Zemo, but he's kind of a nemesis to all the Avengers. Whereas, like, now that John Walker's like, he's going to be specifically out for them if he's going to bump into them, sort of thing.
And of course, we've not only got Walker with his own shield coming into the fray, but you're speaking of new nemesis. I want to kill the Falcon. Charlie's boy, GSP, is back in the game.
Oh my god. I was so happy to see my boy back. Also, giving it a go. This is GSP, you know, he's a French-Canadian MMA legend, and, you know, he's acting next to some great actors, and I feel like he's holding his own, and I'm proud of him.
I feel like you're so on the money with all that Van Damme 80s action villain / hero sort of vibes, like, and that feels like it's happened again, because he's just come out of nowhere, isn't he, back into the plot, like, oh, we need a tough guy. GSP's back.
Yes, I'm all for it. Just get him there for the kicking and punching. That's all you want to see. I'm glad that he's going to be there for the last episode to see. I like that he was in the first episode and then now he's going to be in the last episode. I think that's nice that they sort of bookended that. I'm just kind of sad. I hope nothing happens to him. I want to see him just always pop up. Like, just always, like you said, Backdrop the Leaper. He always gets away somehow and comes back to fight.
Slips out of it, yeah.
Yeah, I love the format. Yeah,
As much as it wasn't kind of what we were expecting this week, I do think, and it was a bit jarring, it didn't heat up in an exciting way past that fight. I do think on reflection as a whole episode, when we're actually talking about where everyone's positioned for the next episode and how many people are going to be in it and where Sam is now at the point where he's got the shield training and, you know, he feels like he's earned the shield and he's convicted in picking up the mantle. And of course, all the character focus moments we got this week, which were kind of evocative of episodes 1 and 2. We saw Sarah again. We got to spend some real time with Sam Bucky. Is a clunky episode, but structurally, I think it was a clunky episode structurally. Sorry, but I think has some of the best scenes of the whole season.
Yes, I see what you mean there. I would agree. I think it's some fantastic scenes, some really good character beats and emotional moments. And there's one I forgot that I'll talk about in a minute. But Terry wants to speak.
I lost my card.
Oh, sorry, did you put your card up while I was saying that? Because I've got to be honest, I was looking at the notes I'd written earlier, so I couldn't see the screen. So if you'd put the card up, that wasn't registering at all.
Yeah, no.
I've lost my card, so I just had my hand up.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, I was just going to give my... You gave your overall conclusion, so I was just going to give my overall
conclusion.
And just say that I think that the best thing about this episode is also the worst thing about this episode, in that it lined us up beautifully for our finale, but it feels like it was like putting everything into place for the finale, if that makes sense. Like, you could feel that, like, it was all being twisted so that everyone's on the right track, on the train tracks for the next episode.
I do see what you mean. You could feel the structure of, like, oh, we're at the finale now. I see what you're saying. Yeah,
definitely. And I think that's probably why we felt like it was going to cut to black at like a lot of moments.
Yeah.
Because of that, because it was tying in all these things for the next episode. Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed this episode. Like I said, I think the structure's weird, like we've all agreed with. But it had some really nice character moments. And a moment that I really liked was when, we haven't spoken about yet, is when John Walker meets Lamar's parents, speaks to them, and has that really emotional moment that, like, even though, you know, I don't like this character, I don't like him as a person, I don't like what he represents. Obviously, I like him as a character, but like him as a person, I guess, as a real person. There was a moment where I kind of felt for him in that moment, where you understand. I think they've done such a good job this whole show of, like, everyone's a bit grey, aren't they? Everyone's got a motive that you can understand. And I think they did a really good job of that. And I think that scene in particular, like, I really felt for him. Like,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I really like, you know, he lost his best friend somewhat, and it was hard to watch. And it was like, I'm literally wanting this guy to get his ass beat in 1 minute. Mm. And now next minute I'm like feeling sorry for him. And I was like, that's good. That's good. Yeah. That shows that the episode character. Was good. So
it's definitely smart to humanize him, you know, just before the third act, after he's done something really brutal and done, like, you know,
exactly
the worst thing in the season.
And I'm sure he's going to do some more worse things, but more bad things. But
I do wonder if he, you know, how he had the conversation with Lamar saying that the super serum makes you more of what you are.
Mm.
I wonder if he's internally panicking, thinking like, is this what I like really am? Mm. If this is what like is happening now that I've taken the serum, like, was I like, what is this? So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to explore if they do.
I think wherever we end up with John Walker, it's going to be interesting next week. I don't think they're going to kill him, but I do think he's going to be, his convictions will go one way or the other. Do you know what I mean? He will finally become a captain of America, if not the Captain America. Definitely. And I think that might come in the form of US Agent, might come in the form of like a Hydra Cap style thing. But I definitely think we haven't seen the last of John Walker. And I'm really happy for that, because I do think White Russell's, as you say, Charlie, when we're watching it, has brought an energy to it that's, it's not just, you're not just getting Kurt Russell 2.0 when you see a White Russell picture.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. He's got his own charm. Energy. Yeah. Mm. He's got his own charm. He's got his own charisma. He's got his own vibe. And I just think he's been brilliant. He's been absolutely fantastic. And I buy everything he's doing. Because I remember when he got cast, like, if you look at him and say, I mean, this is what shows how great of an actor he is. If you look at him and say, Everybody Wants Some, he's this kind of like hippie stoner dude. He's like chilling, you know, and he's got like, he's not in the best of shape. And now you cut into him here and he's like a bit. And I remember thinking when he got cast, like, I don't know if he's a great actor, but I don't know if I'm going to buy him as like this bad guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, this, he's not such a nice guy, but he has pulled it off like 100%. I think that's probably why it works so well, because obviously at the start they're putting these parallels to, you know, he's quite good. He's a good Captain America at the start, and then obviously he has that turn where we see more of him, and I think that's perfect casting on whoever did the casting for this, because he's nailed it. I really think he has nailed it.
And we're positioned next week to get a great villain for the new Captain America. And GSP is going to be there, and it's the finale. And given the fantastic action set piece we got in week one, I do hope they've put some chips down again for the finale. And with all those pieces there, we're going to get a little bit of filth, I hope. It would be a shame if the best action scene of the series is in that first episode. Although saying that, it's still fantastic.
No, it's true.
It was still fantastic.
I'm very excited. I'm just so excited to see the man that is Sam Wilson in that hopefully sweet, sweet Captain America costume.
Oh, it looks so good.
Well, me and Matt, we see a toy action figure that got released like before the show, and
it's a leak.
So I don't know if it's, you know, official or whatever, but if it looks like that,
we shouldn't re-describe it just in case someone gets spoiled.
That is true.
Because it is kind of a spoiler if it's...
I'll just say, if it's true, I'm very happy. I'm very happy. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm very happy too.
Yes.
Yeah. Before we go, I just want to ask Charlie, because we don't have a Clone Wars review this week. We've been a bit busy, but we'll return to that next week, I promise. I just want to ask Charlie whether he thinks Ben Askren is going to win this week on Saturday, or whether YouTuber Jake Paul is going to win this week. Because, you know, I'm not like a massive, you know, UFC fan or anything like that. I kind of get everything secondhand from Charlie. But everything he's been showing me about Askren, I'm so ready to watch this guy kick Jake Paul's ass. But then some of the stuff you've also told me, maybe Jake Paul's got, like, you know, an ounce of a chance. I'm very intrigued. And I kind of just want to get... You know, this is the last chance to get your predictions as to who's going to win. And I really want to know what you think.
All right, okay. So, obviously, I'm rooting for my boy, Ben Askren, because I love him to pieces. He's hilarious. As people have pointed out online, if you look at Jake Paul hitting the pads and you look at Ben Askren hitting the pads, it looks like Jake Paul is the better boxer, because he's definitely got the skill set that he's started to pick up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Askren has never been known for his striking, because he's a grappler in the UFC. He took guys down. He never really stood and he used his striking to go for the takedown. So my concern is his striking isn't the best. Right, so this is where the interesting part comes in, because you're thinking a YouTuber versus UFC fighter, how's he going to win, right? But he isn't known for his striking, and that's why Jake Paul picked him. He's very cleverly picked a UFC fighter who's not known for his striking. However, that being said, he has posted a video like yesterday where his striking looked way better. So I don't know if he's just been purposely trolling people. Or, I mean, it still doesn't look great. It still doesn't look 100, but it looks like enough to beat Jake Paul. And if you want to know my predictions, Mr. Matt Will, if you want to know my predictions, I think the experience of Ben Askren, and we've never seen Jake Paul face any adversity. He's fought two YouTubers and a basketball player. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking Ben Askren, who's fought the best in the world. He's been champions in Strikeforce, not UFC. One championship, he's an Olympian wrestler. You know, this guy has fought all the adversity, and I think he's gonna put Jake Paul through his paces. He's gonna put him through some adversity, and he's not gonna be able to handle it when he's with the big boy. And I think
he definitely seems very confident, doesn't he, Askren? The way he's been very chill.
Yes.
Like all the conferences, you know, the amount of stuff you've shown me. Of Jake Paul just like giving it the big un, and Askren is just cool as a cucumber. And he's wrecking him by not even doing anything.
Yeah, no. He's fantastic.
So he's definitely got the mental game, isn't he?
100%.
And he's obviously, as you say, like he took a hit to the chin from some really powerful guy, you were saying.
Yes, he's fought Douglas Lima, who's like one of the most dangerous strikers in mixed martial arts, along with Robbie Lawler. He took a punch and he got dunked on his head, on his neck. By Robbie Lawler. He lifted him up, smashed him, and then he got up and choked Robbie Lawler out. So it's like, you know, this guy, he only got knocked out once in his career, and yeah, everyone takes the mick out of him because it was in 5 seconds, Jorge Masvidal, one of the greatest MMA fighters of the world. But, you know, anyone who takes a knee to the chin is going to get knocked out, especially by Jorge Masvidal. So,
I feel like there's a consensus that Askren ain't all that. From like kind of weird. Like sort of mainstream casual viewers,
but
if you actually break down what he can do, and also like the discipline to just go, okay, I'm just gonna focus on boxing for this match, for this fight, definitely I think gives him the edge.
Yeah,
but also like it's just like you're cringing internally if Askren for whatever reason loses. It. It's over.
That's why we're watching it though. That's the sell, and you know he's got us all in. I must admit. I mean, I'm. You know, I think I'm going to feel silly either way by even... Like, if Ben Askren just whoops his ass, I'm going to feel silly for even thinking that Jake Paul even had a chance. And the other way around, I'm going to feel silly because, you know, he represents mixed martial arts and should be, you know, beating Jake Paul's ass. A guy who's been training for 3 years of boxing, so...
And didn't you say there's, like, a clause Jake Paul wanted Ben to desperately sign? Because basically he knows that if it was out in the street, it would be, as Ben says, homicide. It would literally be a homicide because this guy knows a way more diverse set of moves. There's no way, you know, as soon as he takes Jake to the ground, it's over.
Yeah.
And Jake knows that, and he knows that he's been talking so much shit that if he gets into the fight, he wants a clause saying that if he does start kicking Ben's ass in the boxing, Ben can't turn around and just get him in like a rear naked choke or something. You said he's apparently refused to sign that clause, which doesn't that mean, Char, that there is a chance that no matter what happens, whether Ben starts kicking his ass or starts losing, he could just end it.
Yeah, pretty much. So, obviously the match will be a disqualification. But, you know, we all get to see what we paid for, which is to see Jake Paul get his fucking ass whooped, which is what he's banking on. You know, everyone wants to see this guy get punched. So apparently, I don't know how true this is, but I know that Jake Paul wanted him to sign a part of the contract that was about that he can't like try any grappling, like he can't kick him or anything. If he does anything like that, he loses all of his purse. But apparently Ben Askren said on his Instagram, I didn't sign that. So, and there's been like UFC fighters who have been like, oh, please just dunk him on his head. Like, please just lift him up and slam him. Like, don't worry, we'll set up a GoFundMe to pay you for it. Like all this stuff. Like everyone just wants to see him. 100%.
How much would you donate, Terry?
£10 because I'm poor.
Well, you know what? Ben is an American hero, judging from that Rocky parody video. So I think he'd take it. I think he'd do it for free.
It's a great Rocky parody video. I really enjoyed
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Fantastic. But I just can't get over when Jake Paul body shot him at that conference and he just laughed. He walks off and he laughs.
He just laughed at him.
What a machine.
He just laughed at him. He's such a...
But it's going to be so embarrassing if he loses, though. I know. All that.
But I just can't see... I just can't... I really just think... I think he's going to utilise some dirty boxing. I think he's going to get him round the back of the head and throw some uppercuts. And then obviously when the ref splits him up, he's going to do that. He's going to play dirty. He's not going to play a full-out boxing match with Jake Paul because... You know, he knows that Jake Paul's been training boxing for 3 years, and he's, you know, he's a guy with a more diverse skill set. So it's interesting.
Is he bigger than Ben? What's the weight like?
Yes. I believe Ben Askren's 5'10", 11", and Jake Paul's like 6 foot, 6'1". And I think Jake's a little bit heavier, but I think they're fighting around 190 pounds, I think. I might be wrong. It's but like, you know, like I said, like the punching power, he's got bigger gloves on. He's got bigger gloves on than he's been used to being hit with in the UFC with the small ounce gloves. And he's been hit by people that strike way better and harder than Jake Paul. However,
what's the guy's name? Chuck Loader.
Chuck Loader? Who's that?
What's the guy's name? The one you said hit Ben Askren before. What's his name?
We had Douglas Lima and we got Robbie Lawler.
That's it.
Robbie Lawler.
Douglas Lima. I don't know why I thought his name was Chuck Loader.
Chuck Loader. Chuck. Did you get that mixed up with Chuck Liddell, do you reckon?
Maybe. I do quite like the name for like a... If we create like a fictional UFC character in a movie, Chuck
Mate,
Loader.
100% Chuck Loader.
No,
that's perfect.
He'd have to have guns because he's just reloading.
Chuck Loader. But he's got the guns.
It's time
he?
For Chuck Reloader.
That could be the sequel. Chuck exactly. Reloaded.
And he's played by GSP.
Oh yes, perfect. I mean, GSP's too much of a true martial artist to play the heel, you know, as these guys.
No, Chuck Loader, I'm imagining, is like the lead.
Oh, okay, perfect. So he's like the
you know, he's like
lead.
The next thing you hear is me pulling the trigger.
I do want to see GSP do that. To be fair, I do want to see that. I'm thinking about putting a bet on. Ben Askren has said he's gonna beat him or knock him out in the 7th round. He's going to wear him down. I think he's going to let him punch himself out. And then he's going to wait to see him get tired. Because he's never gone that far into the rounds before, Jake Paul. Whereas, I think Ben Askren said, like wrestling is so demanding on the body. Like, boxing's going to be nothing to him. And I think he said, he's been training boxing. And he was like, yeah, it's so much easier for my... Because it's just my upper body. And he recently had a hip replacement. So he was like, it's not really too much issue with me, like as opposed to wrestling.
And
you
gotta
think he's
just devoting time to that one skill,
yeah,
isn't he?
Exactly. He's been training with Freddie Roach
usually
as well,
do.
Who trained Manny Pacquiao, so and GSP as well. GSP, he's come up a lot, hasn't he?
Hey.
And I would want nothing more. I want nothing more than to watch Charlie watch Ben Askren knock out Jake Paul because I know he hates Jake Paul with a passion.
Yeah,
he's bastardising the UFC, isn't he, Charlie?
He is, and he's just...
Didn't he say, like, got... UFC fighters are pussies or something?
Yeah,
something
he said
like
they
that,
their striking
he?
Sucks and punch. I was like, oh, what are you talking about? What are you absolutely talking about? And he's just an arrogant... Like, there's a difference between selling the fight and actually thinking these things, you know? Like, Conor McGregor, he plays a character, he knows what he's doing, but then when the match ends, he's still very humble. Very nice. Whereas Jake Paul, he doesn't do that. He's still chatting shit and disrespecting people. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that martial artist aspect of him. And I think that's what he seems like a dick anyway, to be fair. So it's like, I just can't wait to see him get his ass handed to him, hopefully.
But he's such a villain, Jake Paul. He's such a villain and such a douche in all these videos and stuff that it's like, I feel like he is a dick and then he's also playing a villain on top.
Yes, that's,
do you know what
that's
mean? Like,
it.
He is a dick normally, but he's also, do you know what I mean, going out of his way to be his... Well, like, when he's like, stand up straight, bro, when I'm talking to you. It's like, who are
that
you?
So cringe,
who are
mate.
You?
It, literally, who are
not
you?
Not even Zayn Malik wanted to hang out with you. There's a video of him like knocking on his hotel door asking to hang out with him and he's like, fuck off. And he's like, not even able to hang out with him.
It's true.
And he's trying to give it the big un.
It's just brilliant. Like, if you watch that press conference, it's like, it's comedy gold. It's like, you're watching Brent, but like a different kind of Brent. Like, he's like trying to be tough and like wreck him, but he just comes out with you're pussy. Do you know what I mean? That's all he's coming out with. Like, there's nothing, there's no clever wittiness about it. He thinks he's Conor McGregor. He thinks he's got the trash talk level of Conor McGregor. Because this guy, he seriously thinks that he's going to fight him at the end of all of this. He thinks he's going to fight all these UFC fighters. And then he seriously thinks he's going to box Conor McGregor in like 3 years' time or something, he said. And I'm just like, this guy, I mean, fair play. Why would this guy not think he couldn't do that? You know, he's had everything he's ever wanted.
Yeah.
He's done it all. I understand why he would think that, but he's delusional.
He's just so fucking
touch
thick.
Each other, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Men just want to touch each other. That's the reason behind it.
Basically, our exactly. whole society.
Exactly.
We want to be able to hug each other, but we can't.
Yeah, that's it. 100%.
Hug out.
That's true.
I do think if Jake Paul was hugged more as a child and not dropped on his head, maybe he would be where we are.
That would have helped.
But he is just thick as fuck, and Ben Askren is just like running circles around him mentally because he's much wittier. Yes. But hopefully, he's going to run circles around him literally on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, I pray.
We'll see.
Everyone will know.
What are you predicting, Char? Seventh round, was it?
I'm thinking seventh round KO or TKO by Ben Askren. Or if he starts to lose, he's going to dunk him on his head, maybe. We'll see how that goes.
You think
there's 100% chance of Jake Paul rain on Saturday? That's the forecast.
Well, if you see my face like this next week on the podcast, you'll know what happened. Even if you're not even into all this stuff, you'll know what happened. Jake Paul won. Yeah. But if, you know, if I'm like this, how I usually am, then Ben Askren whoops his ass, and I'm hoping. I'm actually thinking about putting a bet on as well. Seventh round.
We've got two fights to look forward to next week. We've got Jake Paul versus Ben Askren and a Falcon Cap versus John Walker.
Exactly. I'm loving that we just spoke about that on this podcast just to be. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I wanted people to like, what's all this? Yeah, but I'm glad we did it. I'm glad. It's on YouTube. It's the talk. You know, this guy is representing YouTube, I guess.
What would you think I'm going to do with this? This is going to be a cut down.
Exactly.
Yeah, get the UFC crowd.
To be fair, smart. He's
who's
smart.
This fucking nerd? He doesn't even like UFC. What's surprising this shitty channel? Waste man. That's what they'll say.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I can't wait to see what happens. I'm itching. I'm going to stay up and watch it.
Before you go, Char. Do you want to give us your socials? And indeed, Terry, would you like to give us our socials?
Our socials.
I made a hash of this. I'm just going to shut up now and let you guys shoot.
So, you know, if you like listening to me on this podcast, I also have my own podcast called Your Favourite Film Is Awful, where each week we bring a guest on to defend their favourite film against negative reviews. Terry is coming on very, very soon, so look out for that. So you can follow us on Your Favourite Film Is Awful on YouTube, on all podcasting platforms. You can follow us on Facebook, Your Favourite Film Is Awful, Instagram, Your Favourite Film Is Awful, and Twitter at FabFilmIsAwful. You can also follow my personal account if you care, at CharlieLilly on Instagram, where, you know, if you like me talking some martial arts stuff, you know, I do have edit some jiu-jitsu videos and stuff now and then in my spare time. So check that out if you're into that sort of thing.
You can find me on Instagram as Terry Merkin. Twitter is Terry Merkin, where I'm occasionally funny. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Terry Merkin, where I'm always lost because we never can find our way through games. So come join me getting lost playing Jedi Fallen Order. Letterboxd is Terrell. Do I have anything else? Did I get everything?
No. You can find me on Instagram at full_fat_videos, and you can find me on Twitter at full_fat_videos. I'm sorry, Ted, I just wanted to be mean. I've got the John Walker in me today. You need to take me down. You guys have got to stop me.
Sweet, you're cap. I'll be Bucky. We'll take him down.
You can take me down. I am Captain America.
He did go a bit Christian Bale, didn't he, at that point?
He did. Oh, good for you.
Good for you.
I'm really struggling.
It's that vibranium, man. It's too heavy.
Yeah, see, that's why you're not fit enough to wield the shields.
Whoa, I'm just sat in a beanbag. You trying to beanbag. I'm the next Captain America here.
Who's the next Captain America here?
Me. I just said.
You.
Yeah.
You. I feel like the real Captain America wouldn't make a bid to be Captain America, so it's probably unfortunately Charlie. But I'm happy being your Falcon. Sweet. I'm happy being that Falcon to your cap.
Perfect.
No, in all likelihood, I'm probably Zemo. Let's be real.
Yeah. That sounds about accurate. I'm probably that weird Cockney power broker that we had for a bit, or whoever.
When you said I'm probably that weird cock, I thought, yes, this is, you're describing yourself perfectly, and then you continued on. It's kind of gotten a bit muddled, but it's fine.
Do you
want
to do your socials now?
He's done them, isn't he?
I've done my socials, baby. Yeah.
Did you do them all?
Yeah, I rattled mine off, G. Oh. Yeah, we're already done.
I want to shout out my Letterbox though, because I watch a shit ton of weird shit. If you're into that, if you're into movies, obviously you are. If you're here on the Full Fat Video, so at Charlie Lilly on Letterboxd. So,
yeah.
Check out, yeah.
And on that note, we will return for the finale of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or more accurately next week, Captain America and the White Wolf, baby.